me trusting in your grace. Lord, shine your light of truth and wisdom over every hiding place, until my heart's your sanctuary. I pray whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, for my
see the Spirit of God dealing with His people, touching them, touching their lives, and because I know that we need it. And, you know, the Spirit of God is precious to us, or should be precious to us. And for those of you that are watching me, I've got a big wad of peppermint candy stuck in my mouth. So I'm like Brother Smith said this morning, I may talk kind of funny, but there's not anything wrong that I know of other than just peppermint candy. But I appreciate what God is doing, and I appreciate His Spirit touching our lives, because I recognize that it's going to be through the Spirit of God that we make progress. It's going to be through His Spirit touching our lives, dealing with our hearts, and touching our minds. You know, when I first received the Holy Ghost, I thought that I knew what I was getting. But through the years, I've learned that it's become more precious to me. Because the Word of God coming forth, I heard some things, and I thought that I got them, but I really didn't have them in my heart and in my mind until I felt the Spirit of God move in me when things was coming forth that planted it in my heart. I knew that it was right. I knew that I had it in my mind and in my heart. And it has been more precious to me. It's been more precious to me through the years. It's gotten better. I've learned more about God than I ever dreamed possible. I was thinking the other day that, you know, through our youth meeting, I watched the move of the Spirit and how that God touched our youth. And I thought Brother Smith was trying to emphasize to our young people, not only through the meeting, but here in our local church, that look, you know, you've got to have something so deep in your heart that it doesn't make any difference what you meet in life. You'll still serve God. You'll still come to the church. You'll still want to do those things that are right. And I know that, you know, everybody likes to think, well, I'm the only one that's ever gone through this problem. But I went through a trial one time, and I mean, it was rough on me. Nobody else had it, I know, at that time. Maybe never have had since then. But we was in the process of getting ready to come to church. And I sat out on the edge of our bed, broke down and cried, and told my wife, if I didn't know that God was going to take His bride out of this people, I'd never go back again. But I knew that God was making up His bride, His people out of this church. I knew He was. So I got up and finished getting dressed and come on back to church. But it was a revelation that God had put in my mind and in my heart that I knew that this was His people. And I knew that there wasn't any place else to go. Where else could you go and find the truths of the Word of God? I've watched through the years and people that left the church. I had two brothers that left the church, and their lives become a mess. You know, not they didn't go out and drinking and partying and all that kind of thing, but they become bitter on the inside, and they were bitter in their hearts, and they met an early death because of it. They're not eternally judged, which I'm thankful that God is going to resurrect them. You know, I have that confidence that God's going to resurrect them, but wouldn't it have been a lot better if they'd have stayed? That's what I was trying to say. Wouldn't it have been a lot better if they'd have stayed? Then I thought this morning in our Bible study, Brother Smith was pointing out to us there in the book of Revelation, those letters that went to the seven churches of Asia, that, you know, if we read those letters and looked at them, we could find some things in there that God really likes, you know. And we could equate ourselves to those letters and say, is that in my life? If it is, then we know that God likes that. You know, we could also read the other points, you know, that God, there's some things in there God doesn't like. And we could equate our lives with that and say, well, you know, have I got that in my life? If I do, I've got a chance to get it out. I can get rid of it. I can purge that from my life with God's help. And we're interested in finding out the things that God likes and what He doesn't like get the things that he does, get rid of the things that he doesn't. You know, and I know that when I first come among this people, I had this idea that God was this fellow that had a big stick. He's just waiting for us to make a mistake. And he could reach over with his stick and hit us over the head. That's kind of a dim view of God, isn't it? You know? I mean, I was already doomed. Why would he have to chase me with a big stick to get rid of me if I was already doomed before I got saved? He didn't have to deal with my heart. He didn't have to deal with my life and bring me this way. He didn't have to touch my mind and let me to see that this is a different way. This is not just another church, but this is his people. And, you know, the thought's been going through my mind the last few weeks that this is the kingdom of God. He has a kingdom in the earth. You remember when Peter one time, that a man I don't know what was said in that ordeal exactly, but Peter pulled out his knife and made a swipe. And I'm going to tell you right now, Peter was a lot like me. He was not swiping for that man's ear. I wouldn't. If I pulled a knife on somebody, don't ever kid yourself. I'm not swiping for his ear. Peter wasn't swiping for his ear. He's swiping for his throat. Man seen it coming and turned just in time to, and Peter just got his ear. And Jesus reached down and picked up the man's ear and stuck it back on his head, healed him. And he made a statement. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world, else my servants would fight." Letting us to know that he has a kingdom that you can get into and become a part of. Just like the kingdoms of the United States. The United States is a kingdom. Russia is a kingdom. England is a kingdom. And you can become a member of those kingdoms if you do certain things. If you abide by the laws and you abide by the regulations of those kingdoms, you can become a part of those kingdoms. But we're in the kingdom of God tonight, and we can become regular members. We can become citizens of this great kingdom. If we learn and abide by the rules and regulations, I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that. But there's a way to get in. Jesus told a man one time by the name of Nicodemus, he said, "Nicodemus," he said, "you must be born you must be born again." Nicodemus was really surprised. He was probably a full-grown man, and he did not understand what Jesus was asking or saying. He said, "Is it going to be possible for me to enter back into my mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus said, "No, that's not what I'm talking about." He said, "You must be born of the Spirit and of the water in order to enter into the kingdom of God." So he has specified there that there's a way to get in. If you're interested in getting into God's kingdom, get saved. Get saved. Get, you know, go before God and repent. And when, what you said there over the weekend, the youth meeting, that look, there's a repentance. You can do a repentance and get on God's team. But a lot of people, they don't want to repent. They don't think they've ever done anything wrong. Just being born and put into this life automatically puts us under the gun of death. But Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." My Lord, I thought I was living out in the world when I was out there. Of course, I didn't do a lot of things because my mom and dad kind of put a, you know, they had a hedge around us. And my dad's hedge was such that you didn't want to break through it to the other side. Because you always had this feeling, you know, you knew the hedge was there and you could go through it, but you always had this feeling that he'd be waiting for you just the other side where you went through at. You know, big hedge, big row. But you didn't know where he was standing, so you didn't want to go through every place that you thought about going through. I've told people through the years, I said, my dad taught me three basic fears in life. Fear God, you know, because he was a supreme being, spirit, and then to fear the devil because he was the one that's going to take care of you, you know, if you lived a bad life. And then the third fear was to fear dad. My dad, you know, fear dad. And I've looked back through my life, and I can tell you right now, that was not the order that I had them lined up in. My dad was the first one on the list. I feared my dad, you know. And the devil, he didn't have much choice in the matter. And, of course, I feared God, but I didn't know exactly where he was at or how big he was or what was going on with him. So my dad was the top one on the list. I feared dad and the repercussions that I'd have and have to go through if I pressed my way through the hedges. But I'm glad to be here today and to know that God's doing something in the earth today. And we have an opportunity to be a part of that if we want to be. And the thing about God is he's not going to force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. God is that kind of God. I've found out a lot of things about him through the years. He's not sitting there with a big stick. He's really wanting to save us. He's really wanting to save you and I. You know, if he dealt with our lives and brought us here to this church, what a great calling you and I have on our lives today. What a great opportunity we have. What a great calling we have. We may not understand it. We may not know all about it. But the opportunity that he's given us is fantastic. I can tell you that just from my experience in life. And if you're here today, oh, thank God. Hallelujah. My Lord, we ought to be grateful for God dealing with our lives and dealing with our hearts and bringing us here. My Lord. Oh, good Lord. There's a good atmosphere here. When Brother Smith gets up, he's really going to preach to us. He'll do us good if we'll listen to get those things in our hearts and lives. I appreciate all the things I've heard through the years and really have appreciated his ministry, and he and Sister Smith both. And in fact, I've appreciated everything about everybody around here lately, you know. But we're on our way to some place that we've never been. Don't know how to get there. Don't know how we're gonna get there. But we have enough confidence in God that if he can deal with me and bring me out of the world, and he can deal with you and bring you out of the world, and fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't you think that he's got enough sense to get us from here to where we got to go? That's what I believe. You know, if you don't believe something, it's never going to happen. You know, we had to have faith just to get saved. And we had to have some more faith just to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, and here we are in the great kingdom of God, where the truth of the Word of God's coming forth. My Lord, there's no telling what God can do for us before it's all said and done. Do you believe it's going to happen? I believe it'll happen, at least in my life. I believe it'll happen for me, Brother Smith. I believe it will. Long time before I really believed that, but now I believe it will. And I'm thrilled about it. I really am. So I was asked to open the service and to call us all to prayer, and I'm sure we have a lot of needs among us. Sister Fisher. Say she fell?
She had a spell.
Oh, had a spell. Okay, thank you. All right, anyone else? Andrew, Brittany, and Connor. Pray for them. Oh, God. Sister Dolly. Sister Elsie. All right. Remember her family.
Again, I've got a neighbor that's going through a lot right now. She lost her husband a couple of years ago, and she's still trying to get over that. She's living by herself, an older lady. She asked me.
All right. Well, let's pray for the service today. Somebody else? Brother Henry needs prayer. All right. Sister Dodson. All right, let's remember Brother Stewart and Sister Crow's brother-in-law that needs prayer. Sister Donna. All right, let's remember that. There's an unspoken. All right, Brother Michael. All right. All right. Can we all go to the Lord in prayer? Ask Him to help us. The ushers come forth to receive the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity You've granted us to gather together among Your people and hear the wonderful truths of the Word of God. We ask You, Lord, overshadow this service. Touch these needs among us, Lord. Touch Brother Johnson's daughter. These others that have been named before You, oh God, we ask You to reach out. Sister Elsie's family, Lord, be with their lives. Overshadow us today, Lord. Open our hearts, oh God, that we will hear the word of life as it comes to us today. Oh God, we ask You, Lord, to reach out and touch Sister Wilkins. Oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh God. Hallelujah, dear Father. Oh God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Then we'd visit. friend. It says a friend is one who knows all about you and loves you anyway. That song that Sister Angie, that's her name, right? Sister Amy was singing. That is exactly the truth. We have a friend in Jesus, and I know we do. I enjoyed Bible study this morning, Brother Smith, talking about those letters that the Lord wrote to the churches. He wrote those letters because he cared about those people. If he didn't care about them, he wouldn't have took out time with them. And Brother Smith was talking about the second heaven condition. Brother Smith, I'm going to have to hear some more on that. I want to be right. I know this sounds selfish saying it like this, but whatever you say, that's the way I want to say it. You know, we're supposed to be an echo. When we walk through the doors of this church, heading out yonder, we're supposed to take the word with us. And the Bible says, and I know I say this scripture every time I get up, the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You can't be quiet. Jeremiah couldn't be quiet. You know, you get these words, so they're hid in your heart. But you go out there and you're just a light. You can't help it. You can't stop it. And people will start talking to you, and the next thing you know, you're talking. You can't be quiet. Of course, people tell me I have that problem anyway. I think Brother Tucker used to say it took, 7 months to learn how to talk and 70 years to learn how to be quiet? I'm still working on that. But you know, the Bible does say it's a time to speak. You got to talk, and I'm not justifying talking all the time. But I am justifying talking when there's people that needs to hear. You know, there's many places we go to. We're the light. We are the light. Where we go. And what is, a brother used to be in our church. He said, that's no brag. It's just facts. It's no brag, just facts. We go out there and we don't have an exalted spirit. We're just trying to share with people what we know they need. You know, Brother Tucker had another thing. It's a mule. You know, we'll walk around a haystack. And he's scared of it. He looks at that haystack. And he's standing way off out here. Walks all the way around and looking at it. And he's scared of the very thing he's supposed to be full of. This morning, this woman, lived, one of our neighbors, she lost her husband a couple years ago. And I just thought I'd go over and check on her. Because last time I seen her, it would have been her husband's birthday. And she's half crying, so I hadn't seen her in a couple of weeks. So I went over and knocked on her door, and she come to the door, and she was crying again. And I said, I just wanted to check on you, hadn't seen you in a couple of weeks. And she started complaining. She said, I don't feel good inside. We got what they need, do we not? We've got it. She said, I don't feel good inside. I can't find that peace. I said, well, I just thought I'd invite you to church with me if you wasn't going to church yourself. I should have just went ahead and told her, you know, Jesus can bring you that peace. But she knows that. She attends church. But she did ask me. She said, if you don't mind, add me to your prayer list. I said, okay, we can do that. We love people. You know, we want to help people. But at the same time, we want to be alive. And I appreciate it. I just wanted to say, Brother Smith, I appreciate it. And all you other brothers, too. When you can't be quiet, brother, you know, different ones of you get up here and you start talking, and it just comes out. And I feel like every one of us should be an open, huh? Yeah, that's right. But what I was thinking, you know, we should be receptive to God's word, receptive to truth and righteousness. I really am fixing to sit down, I think. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But you know, and people, they need. And people are operating out of fear. Fear of this, fear of that, fear of something else. We got what they need. I know we're still not in that second heaven condition, Brother Smith. I understand that. But at the same time, I feel like we're to share with people what we have. I go home, I share it with my wife. She wants me to be quiet. I can't be quiet. My children, they don't want to hear it. I can't be quiet with them either. I just tell them, I said, you know, we have a Savior that loves us. You never quit talking to your children. You never quit talking to those around you you love. You don't stop. You never give up. You just don't give up. And then you go down the street and you run into people. They're full of anger. They're full of fear. Full of all the traits that we have inside of us that needs to be conquered. Those ites that we have in our land. And we just share it with people. You know, and I know people are not ganged up, lined up, following me through the door. I understand that. But you still, you got to plant seeds. You got to plant seeds. Brother Smith, I appreciate words. And all you other brothers, words that you give us. I appreciate that. I think I did say it. I think we ought to be open so that we fill our cup up. Bring our bushel basket in here. Fill it up. Those 55-gallon drums, bring them in here. Fill them up. You know, if we can get a bigger container in here, fill it up. With God's strength, we can pick it up and carry it out the door with us. Just start handing it out. Handing it out. Like candy. You know, you ever gone in a parade? I was in one time. They give us a whole container of candy. They said, now hand this out to the children. Oh, that was so much fun. What was it Jesus said? It's better to give than it is to receive. It's fun giving. I love doing that. You just hand it out. And you look at that look on them children's faces as you're handing it out. You're just walking out there, they're handing it out. And them children, oh, they act all kinds of ways when you hand them that. And that's the way we are. We're children of the Most High God. And we get filled up with this. We can take out the doors with us. And we can just hand it out, hand it out, hand it out. We're nobody great. We're just children of the Most High God. We're children of the King. He's the one that's great, not us. He's the one. So I'm happy to be in church today. I'm sitting over there in my seat. Have you ever just felt, I feel like a little kid sometimes. You know, you come to church. I don't know how you folks feel like. I miss so many services. I sit here, I think, God, it feels so good to be here. God, it feels so good to be here. And I feel like I just want to get up and say something. Just get up and say something. Just get up and tell everybody how happy I am to be here. I just want to tell everybody how happy. God is good. You know what? You get out here rubbing shoulders with people that don't. When you walk through those doors back there and you feel arms of love wrapped around you, isn't that great? Don't you just love that? I love that. And then you come up here and you sit down and you feel that wonderful feeling. And you feel that wonderful feeling. You say, God, you are so good. You're so good. I don't deserve it, but you're good anyway. Hallelujah. I was listening to a CD. A minister was talking, Brother Adams from Benton Arbor. He said, you know, when you get out on your knees and pray, and I've started doing this, he said, you ought to get on your knees and pray. And if you run out of something to say, you just say, hallelujah. He said, you can say hallelujah. Just say hallelujah. And if you've got that wonderful Holy Ghost inside, you can speak in tongues. You can just start talking to Him in that heavenly language. This week, I wanted to feel that wonderful feeling. I wanted to feel it. I said, God, I just want to feel you. I just want to feel that wonderful feeling. I just want to feel that wonderful feeling, Lord. And I got on my knees. I felt like I was knocking on heaven's door. What is that song? It's me again, Lord. It's me. It's not somebody else. It's me. Well, somebody else probably needs to too, but I need to too. Say, God, I just want to know you. I just want to feel you. I just want to talk to you. I just want to hear that wonderful voice that you give. And then I was thinking this week. I know I'm just scatterbrained right now. But I was thinking, you know, God gives us so much. But when we come to church, we shouldn't come to church thinking. A matter of fact, I was listening to some preachers on the radio. And they kept making comments like, what can God do for you today? Well, that's wonderful. What can God give you today? Well, that's wonderful too. What can God give you? What can He do for you? On and on and on. And I got to thinking, well, you know, we sure are some mighty selfish people. And I got to thinking, I said, we ought to do something for God. I know in this meeting we did something for God. I work like a Hebrew. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I work like a Hebrew slave. I did. I don't put this on tape. My God, I worked. I don't know if I'm getting old or if if I never have worked in the other meetings. I don't know which one it is. But we ought to do something for God. When we walk in the door, say, God, I come in here to bless you tonight. I come in here to bless you tonight. I used to hear Sister Hodges. She'd say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And I thought, that is so backwards. We can do it. You know, we can bless God. We can make Him feel like that we're happy to be His. We can come to church and say, God, I just want to bless you, Lord. I just want to bless you, God. I just want to lift your name, God. I just want to be a servant of yours, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And, you know, I was thinking about that while I was working this week. I said, yes, God, that's what we need to do. We need to bless your name. We need to lift your name, God. Everywhere we go, when we're walking out them doors, everywhere, we're a light. We're a light to the world that we're walking around in. The Bible says, you are light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are part of a city that's set on a hill. And I know, I think I say that every time I get up. But I believe it. I believe it. When we're walking through this world, as nobody as possibly all of us feel like we are, we're somebody. We're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. You're children of the Most High God. All of us are. And we're somebody. And it don't matter if we got a dollar in our pocket or a penny in our pocket. It don't matter. The quality in our lives is inside. That wonderful, wonderful, what we've received that so many people need. That's what we've got. And I don't know how to give it to them except just start talking more than I already am. But I want to be His. I want to be a servant of the Most High God. I think it was Brother Smith said 2 or 3 weeks ago. I heard him say it, and I heard another minister. I think it's Brother Adam said it, yeah, on that CD I listened to. It's an honor to serve God. It's an honor to lift His name. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And I've listened to that, and I think, that's right. That's right. That's right. And so I want to bless God's name. And you folks may have to pick me up and carry me around the next service. But you know what? It is an attitude. It's an attitude. If it's inside of us, and that's where it's supposed to be, if it's inside of us, it's hard for someone to get you down. If it's inside. If it's inside, these people, you read history, these people that died for what they believed in, it was inside of them. You can kill the person, but you can't kill the fire. You can't kill the fire, thank God. Anyway, I'm just happy to be here today. I feel so good being in church today. There's that wonderful feeling that only God could give. That wonderful feeling that only God could give. I feel so good being with God's people, people that want to do what's right. You can tell you when with God's people, when you see people that want to do what's right, and you feel that feeling, those arms of love wrapped around you. I love that. I appreciate God. God's our friend. He's our best friend. I appreciate it.
I can't stand behind this thing very often because I don't want to be, what would you say, chained to a pulpit. But I was wanting to iterate what Brother Paul McGowan said. Brother Tucker said this about his actual sister. He said, it took you 2 years to speak and a lifetime to shut your mouth. I have said here recently in my life, I've told DJ, all right, Catherine, if you don't know what I mean by that, it's just something like shut your mouth in so many words. But I'm thankful to be here, and I'm real thankful to be in this church. One time, an individual that I guess you could say ain't part of this church anymore. We were going through our little shaky period, and they asked me personally, they said, why don't you go to this person's church, this person's church, or this person's church? I looked at him, I said, I know more than those guys know. Why would I go somewhere where they have less knowledge of the Word of God? I'd rather stay where I know, or at least they know more than I do. So I'm thankful to be here, to have something where, you know, you're going to get the goods. You're not going to, you wouldn't want to go to a professor in college. And for those of you that aren't sure about, know about my history, yes, I've been to Euler, University of Absolute Last Resort. But I've been there, and I've had some good instructors. But would I rather go to an instructor that has a kindergarten mind or a professor or a PhD mind? I'd rather have somebody that has the goods. And I'm thankful this place has got the goods. And I'm thankful. I thought about when our youth meeting was getting up, I thought about making this quote. I thought about getting up and saying, well, it's been 50 years since I spoke in a youth meeting, and it'll be 50 more before I'll speak again. But I didn't say it. But I thought about giving them my personal body brat life experience of how, you know, there's times that, you know, you go through those little shakings all through your life. And you still, you hold on to the boat. Just hold on to the boat. I don't care how things get. But I thought about just telling them about little personal things, and I thought, well, would that edify too much? But just think. Hold on to the ship as long as you can. Don't just as long as you can, just get some Gorilla Glue and stick it to your hands and stick it there, you know. Stick with the ship. And I'm thankful I'm in the body. And I'm still trying to figure out my place after 50 years. You know, there's some places I'm thinking, okay, is that might be touching something I shouldn't be touching. But I just want to be, really know my place. And be, you know, where someone can look at you and say, okay, he might not be perfect, but at least he's trying. I'm thankful that I'm here. And one thing, Brother Davenport, this is way before a lot of you was ever born, said, when you know you're in the body, and I had to get over it on this side, because when, bless God, you can't get kicked out. So I'm thankful I'm here.
I won't be up here just for a few minutes.
You guys want to do? I'm not particular. Amen. It's a good idea. I appreciate the Lord. I got all this cord strung out everywhere. One second. I'm sorry. All right. I appreciate the service, and Sister Lynette sang a song, and in the verse of that song, it said, "Till I yield, till I what? completely. You know what I was thinking. Yeah, great minds think alike. I hope. Till I lose myself completely in you. And Sister Ratliff sang a song that said, there's a place in, is that your name? Amy Ratliff? Okay, I thought I had it right, and everybody's looking at me like I had it wrong. I thought, oh my Lord, did that change and I not know it? I missed two services and she done gone got a new last name. Scare me to death. Y'all don't do me that way. All right. Now we got that resolved. Anyway, she said that she sung that song that said, if there's a place in your heart where even you don't go, you have some things hidden there you don't want no one to know. I remember back when I was in Wilberton growing up in the gospel, growing up in the Lord, there was a young man that came by and he had had a very, very troubled life and kind of gotten bounced from pillar to post. And he's really a good young man. He didn't have any hang-ups too much, really. He just needed somebody to love him, I think, didn't he? Just his mom didn't love him, and his daddy didn't love him, and sent him to his aunt and uncles, and they really didn't love him. And, he was at that age that his choices was fixing to be just go out on your own and hope you find somebody that loves you. And he had the Holy Ghost, and just things never clicked for the poor guy. And you know, looking back, it's amazing, and I'm sure the older people could tell you this as well, but as you look back in your life, you see things that you didn't see when you were there. It's like you see the condition of somebody now. You see their condition. But back then, you couldn't see their condition. It's kind of strange the way that works. It's because you develop a level of maturity that you start to, you look at things, you look at life differently, you look at the people's situations different. How did they arrive to this end? And do we really want to completely give ourselves to Christ? And things that are said in church, and I've got a lot on my mind today. I won't be up very long. I know time is short, but this week, a friend of mine called me and was needing some help, and I was trying to help him, and I'm just going to share a verse with you that I read to him. It's in Proverbs, the 8th chapter, and if we can go there for just a second. Can you turn me down just a little bit, please? Or am I got the mic? Maybe it's my fault. I may have got the mic too high. And this is talking about Jesus, talking about his pre-existence with God the Father, and he makes some statements here, and one of them in particular really touches my heart. He says here in 8:28, I'm going to read it all, but I'll get to one that I feel I need to say. Proverbs 8:23, I'm sorry, says 8:22, says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old, I was set up. We know that's talking about Jesus' beginning. At least that's what I was taught. From everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains, abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the fountains, foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. And that part there where he says in verse 30, where he says, I was daily his delight. That's Jesus. God, Jesus was God's daily delight. He delighted in his son. Am I reading that right? Seems like I am. And how that we ought to be He says this, then my delight. Jesus says this, doesn't he? He says, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth. And my delight. This is now Jesus. And my delight was with the sons of men. And the Lord delights in us. But not just us. He delights in his people. He loves us. He cares for us. If I could have got that young man to see back then what I see today, maybe his life would have changed. He sang that song that I open up my heart and I let. He used to cry and talk in tongues on it. We'd all pray with him. He left for many years and he came back. And when he came back, he was sort of the same guy, but he wasn't really the same guy. He'd settled down because age does that to you. He'd settled down because he got married and had a kid. That definitely would do that to you. It should. And we went out and hauled some hay together. And he got back up and came to service and he sang that song again. And today I would like to ask him, did you find what you're looking for? Did you find the peace you're looking for? You find the whatever it is you're looking for, did you find it? God delights in us. We are His delight. But we have to learn how to hold that, how to possess that. The very first verse of that states that in the beginning the Lord possessed me. Talking about Jesus. But the Lord possesses you. He's given the earnest of your inheritance. For the purchased possession, there's a scripture that talks about that. That He waiteth for the purchased possession. You know what I'm talking about? Which one I'm talking about? No, it's a purchased possession. Ephesians 1. I believe so. Let me go there right quick. I really didn't intend to head there. I'm sorry for not being... Yes, Ephesians 1:14 says, which is the earnest, he's talking about getting the Holy Ghost, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And so He has bought us, He has purchased us, and His delight is in us. And we have to learn how to hold that, how to possess our souls. There's a warning and a decree in the Bible that we are to possess our souls in sanctification and in honor. I want to stand before the Lord. I want Him to have delight in me, but I don't think He's always so delighted in this Son of Man. And the world groans and it travails and it waits for the manifestations of the sons of God. That's you and I. Waiting until we can be declared that possessed soul of Christ. So that we can stand up. And I don't do that. And so people have a tendency to want to think that people are hypocrites in church. I haven't achieved, as Paul said in Philippians the third chapter, I haven't achieved or obtained or apprehended that for which I was apprehended for. But that didn't mean he quit trying. But it didn't make him a hypocrite because he told other people about it. It makes you a hypocrite whenever you say you've achieved something and you ain't achieved it. And then you put on airs. That's an old term. That's an old folk term. My grandma used to tell me, she said, they call me Little Britches. Little Britches, I ain't going to put up with you putting on airs. And then she'd whip me. After four or five whippings, I figured out what airs were. I didn't put them on no more. They had a different school back then, don't they? Didn't they? You ain't putting on airs. What does that mean? Whack, whack, whack. Okay. Then you do it again. I told you I wasn't putting up with airs.
I feel sorry for them people whose last name is Ayers. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. I want to read this. I found this, and I'm not a big fan of what you find on the internet and junk, but there's some good out there. This makes this phrase about hypocrisy. It says, nothing is more unjust. I want you to think about this. Nothing is more unjust, however common, than to charge with hypocrisy him that expresses zeal for those virtues which he neglects to practice. Since he may be sincerely convinced of the advantages of conquering his passions without having yet obtained the victory. As a man may be confident of the advantages of a voyage or a journey without having the courage or industry to undertake it, and may honestly recommend to others those attempts which he neglects himself. It doesn't make somebody a fallacy or a falsehood. We are all on a journey. And forgive me if I've put on airs. It's not my intent. I can almost hear Nanny Burt telling me now, don't put on airs, boy. But it's very easy to call somebody a hypocrite. Whenever they are on a journey and they may not be able to obtain to that place in that journey, whether by their own personal, and most time it is, by their own makeup of their mind, they can't possess that place, even though they see the advantages of doing it. Doesn't make them a hypocrite. It's whenever they say, I've obtained to that place, I am righteous. No, I'm trying to be righteous. I want to be righteous. I want God to, or Jesus to have his delight in this Son of Man. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, furthermore, and this is where we have to take what we are taught. And most of y'all have been on this journey a lot longer than me. I guess I'd be considered by some of y'all to be a Johnny come lately. Some of you, I'm ahead of you, and some of you, I'm behind you. It says, furthermore, then we beseech you, 1 Thessalonians 4, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. He's just telling them, you've been instructed. But just because my dad taught me to be a mechanic, he first started out with teaching me how to work on a. I still remember that goofy Briggs & Stratton motor on that lawnmower. And it had you set up, the engine was behind you, and you kind of set it in front of it, and it was a piece of junk. And he had about 10 acres of trailer park land, and that's what he'd give me to mow, so long as I could keep that thing running. And I would mow 100 feet, and I'd work on it for an hour. And I'd mow 100 feet, and I can't tell you how many times I replaced the carburetor gasket and how many times I put epoxy on the gas tank to seal up the leaks, but it took me time, and I started to advance, and he would help me. And so that's the way it is in salvation. And whenever the ministry gives us decrees, it's for our good. They may not have obtained to the place, but they see the advantage of getting there. They are ahead of us. Brother Leninger said, you don't have to be light years ahead of everybody. I didn't use light years, I can't remember the terminology. To be the leader, you just got to be a half a step ahead. To be the leader. He also said this, you may be leading, but if there ain't nobody following, you ain't leading. And he also said this, the trick to getting run out of town is make it look like you're leading a parade. I heard that one myself. But these decrees come out, but they expect us to work on that, to abound more and more and more in the gospel, in convictions. Not just to be convicted in here, but to be convicted out there, as Brother Paul McGowan was saying. Says, for we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That's, you know, it's not just natural, but it's spiritual fornication. And in the society we live in now, there's so much that just clouds and pollutes obscures the reality of truth nowadays. I heard a man, I read a story of a this man wrote this thing, and I read it, and he said that because we call Jesus Jesus, I was kind of razzing Brother Durham about it, because we call Jesus Jesus, we're praying to a false God because his real name is Yahweh and all this other stuff. And he goes around and he tries to convince people of all this. But I tell you what, there's been times in my life I've called upon the name Jesus and he heard me. He answered me. That's what he's to me. He's my God. And many other things. But this fornication here, that we can be, the thing that usually causes us to be led by our own spirit is our own spirit. It's our own thinking. My own mind convinces me and it tricks me that this ain't the way anymore, and that nobody in here loves me, but the church loves you. Now, we may not always agree with things, and sometimes we don't agree with each other on things, but we love you. We're not just a bunch of hypocrites in a church. We see the advantages of attaining a place in Christ that will take us to the gutter, or the uttermost, and lead us out of this land of captivity called sin that we've been raised in. And so he says here, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, spiritual fornication. In other words, anything that draws your mind, your heart, your will, your desire, that would cause you to want to shut that door and not let the Savior come in there. And you know, whenever he comes in, there's wickedness in Jeff Pryor. And there's things in him that it's hard. It's hard whenever I have to let Jesus get in there and work in that area. Because, boy, when he gets to working and he gets to shearing wool, I told Brother Smith here a while back, I texted to him, I said, God sure knows how to clip wings and shear wool with as little discomfort as possible. Because let me tell you, when men get ready to shear your wool and clip your wings, they'll kill you to get it done. But when God does it, it hurts. And it's humiliating. It's embarrassing. It's downright ugly sometimes. It's painful. But at the end, guess what? Godly sorrow worketh repentance that need not be ashamed of. Says that, and then he says this verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And it's learning how to possess this. How to drive the ites out of this land. That's the tricky part, because ites are tricky. Thinking is tricky, ain't it? I used to think sometimes I've done the will of God and then turn around and found out the whole time it was just me doing it. And then there's other times, I know Brother Smith put it the best way I think I've ever heard it, is if something comes to your mind that ain't normally the way you would normally think of something, it more than likely is the Lord. Try it and find out. But if you just sit and ponder and come up with something, it may not be God. I want to be leery there. I remember one time a brother got up and he said, I don't know if this is from God or not, but I'm going to give it to you. So he did, and he rebuked every one of us on the platform and the band and everybody else in the church, and especially the pastor. And when he was done, the pastor said, well, I can tell you right now, that wasn't from God. That had to all come out of you. That's a clipped wing. That's some wool coming off. He didn't make that mistake again. Says, but not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. If we're going to be his daily delight, and as I was reading that to my friend, and as that scripture come to my mind, that we are his daily, we are his daily delight. Or daily his delight. However that word's there. I love the Lord. I love him dearly, and I'm learning to love him more. And he keeps taking me on a path here, and sometimes I think, what am I doing? And how do I achieve this? How do I possess this thing? Do I need to go to another church and find it there? Do they got it? Can they help me? Let me tell you, God has a ministry. And what we need can be found right here. The strength we need can be found right here, if we're willing to apply that. That's the hard part. I'm not saying that I apply everything, but I do say this: I don't want to be a hypocrite, and I don't want to accuse somebody of hypocrisy or being a hypocrite. How can I cast out the beam out of my brother's eye, the mote out of his eye, with the beam in my own eye? I want to learn how to please the Lord. He was with God the Father from before any of this. And the first thing he got ready to create is he created the world, and he created you, man. And then he gave man dominion over this world. And he made man upright. And he put a conviction in Adam And he put a soul into him. And that very thing, that very spirit that was breathing to Adam, was breathing to us. You and I. And yet I still wrestle with them, the same three sins that was in the garden that Jesus fought with. And guess what? The people that brought me up in the gospel fight with them. The people right here in this room fight with them. And guess what else? I fight with them. But just because I see the advantages of overcoming them, and I try to keep people or try to encourage people, and I know I'm not a very good encourager. I'm not a Zig Ziglar, that's for sure. Ain't he a motivational speaker? One time, you know you're not a very good motivational guy when your own son tells you, "Dad, I wouldn't want you for a football coach." I said, "Why not?" He said, "You just ain't real encouraging." I said, "Well, I can encourage you." Get out there and hit them. Yeah, see, I'm not good at that. Go and argue with the refs and all kinds of stuff. You say, "Zay, that ain't got nothing to do with anything." I probably don't. I'm not a good encourager, but I would like to encourage us if I can today. That if you're going to be God's daily delight, you can be it right here in this church. If you're going to be God's daily delight, you don't have to put somebody else down. He wants you. He gave you the earnest of your inheritance until the purchased possession. He hasn't purchased me 100% yet. There's still parts of me I keep that door closed. And that's called life. That's the way it is right now. And I hope that as I get older and as I settle down and things come about my way, and unfortunately the only way God knows how to, you know, if he could just bless you all the time and get you through all your problems, wouldn't that be great? Just bless me. Bless me, God, and I'll be better. I went through some bad, tough times one time. I told God, "If you'll just bless me right here, I'll do better." And he blessed me just like I asked. And I did better for about that long. Because when the pressure's off, all right, we got through Algebra 1. You don't realize next semester is Algebra 2. We made it through the first, and we're good. But he just keeps on because he loves you. As Brother Michael said here a while back, he got up and talked on Hebrews there, and he talked about the difference between a chastening. If God has to use something to chasten me or to deal with my heart, then I guess that's what he's going to have to do. But if I can get that lesson quickly, as soonly as possible, perhaps somebody else don't have to suffer something for my benefit. And perhaps I don't have to suffer something for somebody else's benefit. Maybe I don't have to be your grindstone. I may be right now, but I don't want to be. I love God, and I know every one of you do. And don't let this world convince you or muddy the water between your salvation and your convictions of life. And don't let it cloud what you know. It has a way of doing that. Brother Smith's an IFR pilot. That's instrument flying rated, right? Am I got that right? Rules, okay. It's close. See, I can fly a plane. Most people don't know that, but I can actually fly a plane. I could take it off if I had to, if we was out somewhere and, you know, my pilot had a wreck or had a massive problem and I had to fly. I could fly a plane and I could land it. My dad was a pilot and there's a lot of stories that go with flying that work in church, don't they? Amen. I was just thinking about the time that we were in De Leon, Texas. My mom and dad had left each other, and my dad went down there to pick up my mom. While he's there, she had a nephew and a niece that wanted to go fly planes. Well, they both were married, not to each other, and they wanted to go fly. So we load up this little Cessna 182, and it was my dad and me, and there was three in the back seat, and the two adults back there had a kid in each lap. And the runway in De Leon, Texas, The runway in De Leon, Texas is not flat. It is at a slightly uphill grade. And so here we are loaded to the brim with flesh. And he fires that thing up and he firewalls it and we take off. And he'd get airborne, but we couldn't climb faster than the grade of the runway. So he would get airborne about 3 or 4 feet and then we'd hit the runway again. And about the last 75 feet of the runway, it actually breaks flat. It's perfectly flat, and there's a barbed wire fence right there and a pasture right there, boom. And my dad, boy, I mean, he's doing all he could. That plane can only do what it can do, okay? It's got one motor and one prop, four cylinders. It's only going to do what to, you ain't gonna get no more out of it. And he'd pull that thing back in the air, and it'd come back up in flight, and he'd land back on the ground. He done that 3 times, and he got there to that flat spot. He looked at me and said, "Hang on, son." And he got, and as soon as that thing broke over that flat spot, he just hauled her back. And I mean, it was do or die at that point. I mean, she's either going airborne or you're hitting the dirt. And we come up, and we clear that barbed wire fence by probably about this much. And from about me to probably the middle of the parking lot, there was a whole bunch of cows, and there's an old man with a hat walking out there with a stick. Like that. And them cows, you know, cows get excited, they relieve themselves. And them cows were just, their tails were straight up and bent at the top, and they were just, every one of them just hooking. And that old farmer had that hat, and he was like, he probably thought the wrath of God was fixing to get that man. And we got all airborne, and then people back in the back, they're like, "Whoo, this is fun." My dad's sweating bullets. He looked at me and he says, well, never mind. He just said, "Says that was close, son, wasn't it?" I said, "Yeah, it seemed like it was awful rough." I really didn't know at that time how rough it was. I didn't know. We like to just die right there. That's where a church is. We got to go uphill. I'm just talking about possessing it, keeping it all running good, keeping it all clean, keeping it all happy. Keeping all the chips out of the prop, and all the bugs off the windshield, make sure the carburetors are clean and ready to roll. And that's just talking about getting stuff out of our life so that when God comes in here, we can, because we're going to fire it up, we're going to run it right down the runway, and we got to go uphill. Sometimes the takeoff is like the runway in De Leon, Texas. So I'll sit down. Just bear that in mind. Those people in the back, they never knew nothing was going on. But the people who perform, the people who are the pilots, I know I'm not a pilot, I'm going to go sit down, I'm not even a good navigator, okay? We was going over Atoka one time and our carburetor's iced up and Dad said, "Find me a place to land." And it was the middle of the night and it was storming. I mean, I couldn't see nothing. He's like, "Well, we've got to go find a place to land." I said, "Dad, there ain't, I don't see nothing down there but lights." He said, "They all in a row?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, that's a highway. We'll land there." I thought, "Oh, okay." Luckily, we got it started. But anyway, I don't want to ramble. I just wanted to express my appreciation. When I read that this week, it touched my heart. And then to realize that to possess our hearts, to possess our souls, we have to allow Him to come in. It's a very fitting song. We have to allow Him to come in, and we have to allow the Lord. And how He does that is with His hand sometimes. Sometimes it's the Spirit of God, but more times than not, it's going to be His hand, His ministry. And they're going to go into a place of our heart because God is directing them. When a preacher stands up and he touches your life, he ain't up there just needling you. God may be touching that man's mind to open up that door in my heart to say, "Son, ain't it time? You've had them cobwebs in that corner for 42 years. It's time to get out. It's time to get that junk out of there. You've had that old Christmas wrapping paper watered up back there for so long." And all those things. So I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate all He does for His people. And I'm thankful that one day he did find me. One day the Savior found me, and I let him in, and he came in. And I hope that he gets to buy this house. I hope he gets his final possession. And I hope it's not a wore out shutter falling in, roof done dilapidated. I hope it's still worth something. I hope it's still young enough. I hope that I'm still young enough that the Lord can do something with me instead of waiting until I'm 85 years old and age has finally broke me down to the place that I don't have enough fight in me. And I mean, I may still have some, you know, in my mind, I may still be a Billy Bob Bivens. Okay, in other words, I still may be me or Barbell Josephine. Y'all ever heard about them? Billy Bob Bivens and Barbell Josephine. Those are people with fighting spirits, and I may still have that as an old man. God help me. But I hope to be young enough. I hope to finally have this broke down in me enough at a young enough age that I can help somebody, that I can be influential, that I can see as that young man went through that condition of life, that I can see that now and actually be able to help him. I don't know where he's at nowadays. Every once in a while I'll get on Facebook and try to find him, but I can't find him. I've often wondered about him. Every time I hear that song, I think about him. And let me tell you, he's like a lot of young people in this church right now. He's searching, but he knew not what he searched for. He had places in his heart that he didn't want to go, and he sure didn't want nobody else to go there. And he wanted those things. He knew he could see the benefits of living right in other people's life, but he didn't know how to get there, and he was unwilling to be led there. Because when I was young, I girded myself and I went wherever I wanted to go. But when I'm old, another's going to gird me, and I'm learning to be led. And sometimes I fight. It's like I've got this dog, Diesel. Diesel's a little wop-eyed, and you know he's kind of a goofy-looking dog in some ways. But you know, but anyway, you can go out there and get him, and I can go out there and pet him and everything. But if I go to put him on that chain, it's for his good, so he don't get out and get run over. But he will just claw and just dig in. And I've often, today when I was praying, I asked the Lord, I said, am I like Diesel today, God? Am I just digging in? You're wanting to help me here. And I appreciated the youth meeting. I'll stop right there. I appreciate the youth meeting. I had a good time. And I got to work on some vehicles and things like that, but I had a good time. And let me tell you that there's some good young people in the body of Christ. And we've got some good young people in the body of Christ. There's always room for improvement. And sometimes that improvement is going to require coming out of our comfort zone. I appreciate the times that I was brought out of my comfort zone. I'm slightly out of it right now, ironically. But don't begrudge those things. As you grow and take on maturity and take on life and responsibility, this is part of that responsibility, is the care of the Lord, the care of the church, and not just that, but the care of carrying on the message and the convictions of it, the convictions that it brings. That one sister said, she said, I don't believe in personal convictions, and I personally am not convicted. But she got convicted. And you may not have a feeling about something today, but I guarantee you, your actions may carry you somewhere today, but tomorrow as you get older, you're going to think, oh my goodness, what did I do? Who did I hurt in this process? And the mature Christian people and the parents that you have, they're going to love you anyway and see you through your tough times. If you got good Christian parents in church, you ought to thank God for that. I wish many times that my folks could have stayed in, but they didn't. I don't begrudge them. I still pray for them. I love them. And your parents love you and they want the best for you. They're going to see you through those times. They're going to love you through those times. You're probably going, you know, there's probably going to be some tough times ahead. Mom. I'm watching people go through things and I admire the way people can take things. It helps me. And I think we ought to have an effectual feeling for other people as they go through something of life that can, because you know what? There's a phrase I heard one time. this guy worked for me, he's a Hispanic brother. He told me this phrase, and I can't think of it right now. But anyway, it's basically it's my problem today, but it's your problem tomorrow. And never laugh at somebody's calamity. One time I laughed at somebody's calamity, and the Lord broke me. And he truly broke my heart, and he broke my spirit over that. To enjoy somebody else's pain, to enjoy somebody else's hurt, to mock or laugh in the day of their calamity. Don't you know that God laughs in the day of your calamity? Bible even says that. Proverbs says that. And I shall have them in great derision, mocking. In other words, a calamity, a foolishness. He's going to laugh at that. It's their feet today that's happened to walk it. It's your feet tomorrow that's happened to walk it. I know that I've done things that I'm not proud of in my life. I'm not, well, I know we don't use that anyway, but I'm not thankful for some of them, okay? With a capital T. I've done some things I'm ashamed of in my life, as we all have. But God has been faithful, always faithful, to come to strengthen me, to help me get through those times, and to give me the courage to go to those that I've hurt and shake their hand and ask their forgiveness. Man, it always gets quiet when I'm up. It just seems like it. Anyway, I love this church. I'm telling you, you've been such a blessing to me and my family. Do I agree 100% with everything? I'm going to be a hypocrite. No, I don't. Just like you don't agree 100% with me, but we're still in here. We're still in the unity of the Spirit until we come to the unity of the Spirit. We're not just grading on each other, we're helping each other. And this church has been such a sanctuary to me and my family. And you may not realize that. You think, well, you come from being in the body so many years. Yes, but there was something I needed. There was something I was lacking. That old phrase, you've been tried, you've been weighed, and you've been found wanting. I was wanting something. I needed something. And I'm thankful that God's ministry helped me and is helping me and will continue to help me. But it's not because they forced their way in there. It's because I see the benefits of being helped. And I'm saying, hey, can you help me with this? And they're saying, yes, I'll help you with this. So I can take a rebuke. Please, if I have to be rebuked, rebuke me. It's going to hurt. Do it nice. If I'm putting on airs, just be gentle. I'd a whole lot rather submit to God than I would any other authority on this earth. God and His ministry. Because there are authorities and there are things that you will submit to one way or the other. God bless you. Aren't you glad that you are His delight? Can you imagine if you weren't?
Fed and appreciated the songs and the good spirit of the Lord. So what about band practice? 4 o'clock and choir at 3. Choir practice at 3 o'clock. youth band at 3. How do y'all do that? Okay. Youth band meets downstairs. I guess y'all know that. Cleaning team number 4, a short meeting right after today's service, right after service right now. And then we're going to continue to have dinner day on the second Sunday. I thought we'd try having potluck on the last Sunday of every month, and that way it'll give you a little bit of variety of being able to go out and maybe a couple weekends a month. Anyway, let's try that. And maybe we could move our men's meeting to, I think it's next week. No. Is that dinner day? The Sunday after it. Well, yeah. Let's go ahead and have it, because our projector back there has went out on us. We don't really know what all's wrong with it, but we've got a new one. It was supposed to have been delivered yesterday, but it didn't show up. So FedEx was supposed to, they told us it'd be delivered on Saturday, but anyway, it didn't come, but I'm sure it'll be here this week. And Brother Painter said he'd like to maybe put it up, if we can, Saturday after the men's meeting. Is that right? So we'll go ahead and have the men's meeting, but I was thinking about moving it to the last Saturday of every month, because the second Saturday isn't always, how does that work? Well, I mean, there's a difference. If the month starts on a Sunday, then the second Sunday is not necessarily the second Saturday before it. It could be the first Saturday and the second Sunday. So it kind of gets confusing. Right, but second Sunday and second Saturday. But last month it wasn't that way. So, but I thought we might move it to the last Saturday, which would be the day before potluck. That way, but we'll go ahead and have dinner day next Saturday. Not dinner day, but men's meeting next Saturday, which is the second Saturday, and it'll be also the day before dinner day. If you got all that figured out, will you? Did good. I said it, and I still don't have it. Anyway, I'll see you at 5:00. God bless you. Have a good dinner.